Welcome to El Microscopio, a program exclusively dedicated to clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine. International Federation of Clinical Chemistry, IFCC. Executive Director, Dr. Hernan Ferris-Tayeb.
Member of the Committee of Evidence-Based Laboratory Medicine of the International Federation of Clinical Chemistry.
Organizing Committee, Dr. Maria Montserrat Blanes Gonzalez from Paraguay, Dr. Rosa Isabel Sierra Amor from Mexico, and Dr. Estela Raimondo from Uruguay.
El Microscopio. A program exclusively dedicated to clinical chemistry. El Microscopio, a way of looking at knowledge.
The Spanish Association of Pharmaceutical Analysts and the Chilean Society of Clinical Chemistry accompany El Microscopio.
El Microscopio, where health professionals can meet over the internet.
We are thankful to the audience. We have more than 100,300 Facebook likes. Let's go for more.
This is El Microscopio.
Podcast on infobioquimica.org. El Microscopio in the world. Our correspondents in every country. Alberto Barrantes in Costa Rica. Álvaro Justiniano Gross in Bolivia. Ana Leticia Maselli in Guatemala. Carmen Cecilia Almonacid Urrego in Colombia. Cristina Cerveto from Uruguay. Eduardo Aranda in Chile. Graciela Velázquez from Paraguay. María del Carmen Pasquel from Ecuador.
El Microscopio, a way of looking at knowledge.
Professor Giuseppe Lippi is director of the Clinical Chemistry and Hematology Laboratory at the University Hospital in Parma, Italy. He's also a professor of clinical biochemistry there.
Professor Giuseppe Lippi, welcome to El Microscopio. Our first question is, which is the meaning of the term phlebotomy?
The term phlebotomy originates from the Greek word phlebo, which means pertaining to a blood vessel, and tomy, which means producing an incision. Therefore, this term currently identifies the process of making a vein incision with a needle, a procedure that is also conventionally known as venipuncture. In essence, phlebotomy should be regarded as an invasive medical procedure, which deserves specific training about the correctness of performance and deep acknowledgement of potential complications.
And how much accurate and suitable phlebotomy is important in laboratory diagnostics?
First and foremost, it is rather obvious that the performance of a phlebotomy is a necessary and almost unavoidable step for obtaining diagnostic blood specimens, which are then used for testing. Basically, a diagnostic blood specimen can be made of venous blood, arterial blood, or capillary blood. Typically, most routine samples are made of venous blood. After collection, whole blood specimens are transported to the site of testing, where they are subjected to centrifugation for obtaining serum or plasma, in the case of clinical chemistry, immunochemistry, and hemostasis testing, or rather are analyzed as a whole in a case of the complete blood cell count. It is obvious that the accurate performance of a venipuncture should be regarded as an essential criterion for the quality of testing, since an unsuitable specimen would no longer mirror the clinical condition of the patient in vivo, thus introducing an undue variability that may lead to an inappropriate clinical decision-making. It is also noteworthy that solid evidence gathered after decades of research about errors in laboratory diagnostics attests that preanalytical mistakes can be as high as 70% of all errors occurring throughout the testing process.
Which are the leading causes of an unsuitable specimen for testing?
Basically, these include a problem in the volume or quality of the specimen. The former condition is mainly due to collection of a blood volume that is insufficient for testing, which is called insufficient sample, or the collection of a specimen with an inappropriate blood to additive ratio. The paradigmatic case is that of a hemostasis sample, in which the ratio between the anticoagulant, that is typically buffered sodium citrate, and the blood must fulfill a fixed ratio, that is one volume of anticoagulant and nine volumes of blood. When this fixed ratio is disrupted, the quality of testing may be substantially impaired for the excess of anticoagulant that interferes with normal development of clotting tests. As regards the later condition, that is the quality of the specimen, this may be impaired when something goes wrong during sample collection. Besides errors of identification, which are globally rare compared to other more frequent mistakes, the major problems emerge from a troublesome phlebotomy in which the blood cells are subjected to injury up to their full rupture. This would cause the release of a number of intracellular substances in the surrounding serum or plasma, especially hemoglobin and enzymes, which then generate an undesirable bias in test results. Another important source of variability is represented by venous stasis. The application of the tourniquet is virtually unavoidable during routine venipuncture, since this practice allows a better recognition of vein and puncturing site. Several lines of evidence demonstrate, however, that the maintenance of the tourniquet for more than 1 to 2 minutes is a significant cause of hemoconcentration, which may also spuriously increase the concentration of several analytes. Sample mixing is another source of variability. As mentioned, venous blood specimens are typically collected in primary blood tubes containing additives, which can be either anticoagulants, such as heparin, citrate, or EDTA when the biological matrix to test is plasma or whole blood, or different types of procoagulants when the biological metric to test is serum. We have recently shown that an insufficient sample mixing may be a cause of inappropriate anticoagulation of the specimen, whereas an excessive shaking may be a source of blood cell injury. To overcome this problem, samples should hence be mixed by 4 to 6 times gentle inversion, following the precise indications provided by the different manufacturers of blood tubes.
Following the specific order of draw during collection of blood sample in Science of Smith,
the establishment of a specific order of draw during sample collection is a heritage of all the mostly anecdotal studies. Briefly, at the end of the 1970s, two independent groups observed that an incorrect order of draw was cause of spurious hyperkalemia and hypocalcemia, that are two surrogate markers of in vitro cross-contamination of EDTA among tubes. This led to the development of universal recommendations that a specific sequence of tubes should be followed during venipuncture. Recent evidence, mostly based on current and more advanced generation of blood tubes, suggests, however, that the use of substance-specific sequence is no longer justified.
What is the state of the art of the quality of venipuncture around the globe?
First of all, it must be remembered that some international and national guidelines about the quality of venipuncture do exist. More specifically, both the Clinical Laboratory Standards Institute and the World Health Organization have released phlebotomy guidelines, which should be regarded as the gold standard for this practice. Additional national guidelines are available, such as those issued by the Italian and Croatian Societies of Clinical Biochemistry and Laboratory Medicine. Therefore, it seems rather obvious that all the problems in phlebotomy practice emerge from ignorance or inaccurate application of these recommendations. The working group of the European Federation of Laboratory Medicine on preanalytical variability has recently completed a survey which was specifically aimed to collect data about national guidelines, education and training on phlebotomy practice across Europe. The conclusion of these studies are extremely interesting. First, only 7 out of the 28 countries declare to have issued national phlebotomy guidelines, whereas only 5 have implemented other guidelines, such as those of the CLSI or the WHO. Most of these are not broadly available as published articles, unfortunately. It is noteworthy that the compliance with phlebotomy guidance was very poor, irrespective of phlebotomy being under laboratory jurisdiction or not. Then, a broad range of heterogeneity was found in the healthcare workers with blood collection responsibility. According to the different European countries, blood may be collected by physicians, nurses, lab technicians, and even administrative personnel. An extreme variability was also found in the levels of expertise and education of phlebotomists, ranging from specialists with particular training on administrative personnel with no education. Interestingly, specific training available as a continuous educational resource for phlebotomists was only available in 1/3 of the European countries. Specific training for phlebotomists was not a part of the core curriculum required to become qualified in this practice in as many as 35% of the countries. And in those countries where this was available, it did not exceed 5 hours, which is a rather limited amount of time to become expert in this relatively invasive medical procedure.
So, which are the leading conclusions of this survey?
Based on the results of this European survey, 4 main issues emerge. First, there is a compelling need to further evaluate the quality of current practices, compliance with available recommendations, and to identify the most critical activities during phlebotomy. then it seems also necessary that the phlebotomy guidelines, preferably that issued by the CLSI, are blindly adopted by those European countries which have not developed local guidelines. The National Society of Clinical Chemistry and Laboratory Medicine should also take more responsibility of basic training program and continuous education of healthcare phlebotomy staff. Finally, as for other countries, such as the US, the implementation of competent certification for phlebotomy seems a convincing strategy to further improve the quality of phlebotomy in those countries where the figure of the phlebotomist appears not to be recognized officially.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate your time and all the questions you've sent us.
Okay, thank you.
We are in El Microscopio
on infobioquimica.org.
On Wednesday at 1 p.m. Argentina and Uruguay time, at 11 a.m. Ecuador, Panama, Peru, Colombia, and Mexico time, and at 6 p.m. Spain time.
But you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest. And nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm yours. Well, open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you'll find love. Of the moment people dance and sing, we're just one big family, and it's our godforsaken right to be loved, love, 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 love. So I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure there's no need. Checking my tongue in the mirror and bending over backwards just to try to see it clearer, but my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed. I guess what I'll be saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanities and just go with the seasons. It's what we aim to do. Our name is our virtue. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm yours. Well, open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you find that the sky is yours. So please don't, please don't, please don't. There's no need here to complicate, 'cause our time is short. This, oh, this, oh, this is our fate.
This is El Microscopio.
Podcast on infobioquimica.org. El Microscopio in the world. Our correspondents in every country. Rosa Isabel Sierra Amor from Mexico. José Jara from Peru. Milagros de la Rosa from Dominican Republic. Miriam Aguilera from Honduras. Rafael Calafel from Spain, Mario Chavez Villalobos from Costa Rica, Dante Yáñez from Bolivia, Leverton Ortiz from Chile.
This is El Microscopio.
PNCQ, Quality Control National Program. PNCQ opens its market in Europe and Latin America. The biggest supplier of aptitude assay in Brazil and Latin America, PNCQ supplies more than 4,000 laboratories in Brazil, Europe, Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Paraguay, Peru, and Uruguay. The PNCQ has signed important agreements for the first semester of this year, partnering with the Finnish organization La Politique, among other representations. It has also partnered with Latin America companies in Colombia and Peru for PEEC distribution and other products. Apart from that, it has signed an agreement with the Ministry of Health of Portugal. External control. The PEC External Program for Quality Control of PNCQ is organized in this way. The National Quality Control Program sends samples every month. These kits are made to control accuracy and precision. On the PNCQ website, there is an area for laboratories who have joined the program where they can find a chart with the desired values for each sample. The PNCQ has two programs for their laboratories. Programs will vary depending on the complexity of the laboratory. There are basic and advanced plans for PEC. The PNCQ has PEEC programs for all clinical laboratory working areas. For more information, you can visit www.pncq.org.br.
We are in El Microscopio.
Podcast on infobioquimica.org.
On Wednesday at 1 p.m. Argentina time, at 10 a.m. El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Costa Rica time. This is El Microscopio.
On infobioquimica.org.
News.
The IFCC invites affiliated professionals to join the Latin American Working Group of Nomenclature and Translation, Publication and Communication Division, CPD, IFCC. We invite our audience to visit the website www.ifcc.org, RIA, it's the RIA, the Latin American corner, where you'll find the Spanish e-journal of clinical laboratory for Latin America, Spain and Portugal. This journal is supported by the IFCC. It's worth visiting, and we hope to see you there.
News.
The African Federation of Clinical Chemistry is thankful for the effort made as regards Ebola virus information and communication. The United Nations and the World Health Organization will increase work to control the outbreak. The AFCC invites professionals to the AFCC LabMed in Victoria, April 2015. Workshops start on April 24th, and the Congress will be held from April 28th to 30th. There is a special program for young professionals. Activities will encourage worldwide cooperation.
News.
Call for entries for the 11th Health Science Prize. The call for entries for the 11th Health Science Prize has been announced by Antonio León, president of the Caja Rural de Granada Foundation. The foundation runs the awards to promote research and the development of the Granada Health Science Technical Park, the PTS, as driving forces behind the provincial economy. As in previous years, a 20,000 euro prize will be awarded to the winner of the research category and 6,000 euro prize to the winner of the scientific dissemination category. The deadline for entries is the 10th of April. Information in www.fundaciconcrd.es and www.ptsbonada.com.
El Microscopio.
IFCC affiliates with Clinica Química ACTA, the CCA, as the official journal of IFCC. The IFCC is delighted to be able to partner with Elsevier in agreement that makes Clinica Química ACTA the official journal of IFCC. Elsevier has an outstanding reputation as an international publisher in the field of medicine and healthcare, with a huge range of leading titles in both journals and books. This experience will be of benefit to IFCC as we strive to increase our scientific and public relations image at a global level. In reaching the agreement, IFCC was encouraged by the vision and the commitment of Elsevier to advance the quality and impact of IFCC publications. In the years to come, Elsevier and CCA will continue to do their best to facilitate and publicize IFCC activities to enable the Federation to be as effective as possible. As part of this agreement with IFCC, all individual members of IFCC full and affiliate national societies will now be entitled, from the beginning of 2014, to receive low-cost online access to the journal, including archives back to the first issue in 1956. The coordination of this member subscription of $35 per year will be carried out by each society on behalf of its members. More details will be sent shortly to the IFCC National Society representatives.
This is El Microscopio on infobiochimica.com.
22nd Latin American Congress of Clinical Biochemistry and Laboratory Medicine, Colabiocli, 2015. From the middle of the world towards the clinical biochemistry of the new millennium. From October 29th to 31st in Quito, Ecuador.
Clouds hold a storm over this road. You're dreaming, or at least you got your eyes closed. Dormant love you built inside your stubborn ways. Well, it's begging now for air on the sudden breath of waves crash against the highway cliffs. I'm so scared they'll flood me where I sit. When roads they change to waterways, they never carry home. Towards the window, now the rain is crashing down, and oh my God, you're beautiful. And I'm so unsated still, I pray you'll hold back your escape. Yeah, we still got time, and in my mind these bends can be steered straight. As these waves crash the highway cliffs, I'm so scared they'll flood me where I sit. Where roads they change to waterways, they never carry home.
Professor Gabriella Di Carli is a member of the National Institute of Infectious Diseases in Italy. She's working on the legislation of the directives of the European Union for the pre-analytical phases.
Professor Gabriella Di Carli, welcome to Microscopio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We wanted to talk about the European Union directive on needle stick injury prevention. What's the extent of the problem? What's the situation with that?
The directive was launched because the organizations of nurses, especially, tried to bring the problem to the attention of the politicians at the European level. Those who had been infected or badly injured during their work supported the idea of implementing a legislation which made mandatory to start a whole strategy in hospitals and healthcare settings in order to prevent needle stick injuries, sharp injuries, and trying to minimize the biological risk that healthcare workers are exposed to. The data seem to demonstrate that the extent of the problem is quite huge. Approximately 1 million healthcare workers sustain a needle stick every year in Europe. Therefore, it is something which is occurring very frequently, and it is of course a cost for the structures, for the facilities, because of course every exposure needs to be managed. Therefore, it is necessary to start an epidemiologic investigation, to test the source patient, to follow the healthcare worker, to provide prophylaxis in case. Of course, it's a waste of time because the healthcare worker is not performing the job he was doing. He has to be sent around in the hospital to report officially to the lab, to the employee healthcare service, etc. Therefore, it is obviously, it is a stress, psychological stress, very important for healthcare workers. Therefore, the idea was to, there were already recommendations supporting preventive interventions, education, training, sharps container, but this was not mandatory. So the European Commission tried to decide whether it was better to make a binding legislation requiring mandatorily all the member states to adhere to this holistic strategy for the prevention of this type of injuries, or if it was better to make just guidelines and recommendations. And in the end, it was decided that a binding legislation was better, because the situation in Europe was very different from one country to another, and so this would make the working conditions for healthcare workers comparable in the different states of Europe.
And could you please tell us about needle stick prevention devices, please?
Well, needle stick prevention devices are an engineering solution to an existing problem, and they were developed in response to the fact that most injuries occurred immediately after the use of the needle and before the needle was properly disposed of. And in many situations during the healthcare activities, it is not possible to dispose immediately of the device. Therefore, these devices were developed in order to for the needle to be protected after use, either with shielding with shields who slided on the needle, or with caps who could fall on the needle, or the needle to be pushed out already covered, or the tip can be blunted after the procedure. And these devices are being continuously ameliorated and further developed. And so we are now talking about a fourth generation of needle stick prevention devices, which are those who are completely passive and do not require the healthcare worker to activate the safety mechanism. Of course, this is not possible or feasible or even desirable for all devices. So also devices who are actively put in the safe condition can and are used satisfactorily. These devices approximately decrease the risk of injury by 80%, according with the differences according to the type of mechanism, how it is activated, and of course it is very important. The healthcare workers are involved in the choice of the best device in their situation and are properly trained and well educated about the need of activating and using and disposing of these needles in a proper and appropriate way.
Why isn't European legislation being organized on this issue?
Well, the legislation was required because there were already some hints about the need of implementing all of the possible safety measures in the previous legislation. That is to say, European directives on the safety at work, which were issued starting in 1989 and then again renewed in the year 2000, already had an explicit requirement for healthcare employers to adopt the best engineering solutions to decrease risk. But it wasn't explicitly reminded that this meant the use of safety needles. And therefore, the healthcare workers in Europe felt that it was necessary to explicit a requirement in this sense, as it has been done in the United States, where the Needle Stick Safety Prevention Act passed in the year 2000 required clearly that safety devices should be used. And so this is why in the end it was made in European legislation, but at the same time the healthcare employers decided that the whole issue was not just implementing safety devices, but also implementing a whole set of actions in order to prevent exposure. Therefore, healthcare employers agreed with the employees that a whole set of actions such as education, training, proper disposal of needles, vaccination, follow-up response, reporting of exposure, monitoring of the situation had to be, let's say, coupled with the implementation of safety devices. Therefore, in the legislation, there is a clear requirement for a global approach to safety instead of just talking about safety devices. And therefore, this in the end, this will have a positive impact also on patient safety.
What's the current and the future impact of this directive in Europe?
Well, currently, the legislation has had to be active and in effect since May 2013. Several countries have already started to render every single requirement in this law mandatory and are making controls. Other countries are really starting from a very basic level, because there are countries where the economic burden of this legislation is clearly too much to be implemented all at a time. Therefore, a recent questionnaire made by the Federation of European Professionals in Healthcare, to which responded approximately 7,000 healthcare workers from all of the 28 countries in Europe, showed that the situation is really at the very beginning. They receive basic training regarding biological risk. There is a moderate availability of the safety devices around, but of course it is absolutely suboptimal, because less than, let's say, 40% of healthcare workers have in their everyday working activity availability of safety devices for the most dangerous procedures they have to carry. And but there's a great need for a specific education regarding not only biological risk, but preventing needle stick injuries. At least 30% of healthcare workers needed to have received more explanation regarding post-exposure prophylaxis and what is expecting you when you sustain a needle stick, what is the best follow-up and the best management you have to undertake. And therefore, and at least 40% of those 7,000 workers had already sustained in their professional life at least one needle stick injury. This means that the problem is wide and still to be properly addressed. In the future, we hope that, of course, the need to, well, at least to make some benchmarking between European countries, and so to compare the different situations, to render the working conditions of healthcare workers everywhere in Europe more uniform. This will probably have a greater impact than currently. And we hope also that when the requirement for safety devices will be widespread, the prices of these safety devices, which now are clearly higher than those of the conventional ones, will render more feasible for all countries to afford purchasing these devices, even for small hospital and not just for single at-risk departments. In Italy, for example, at least 40% of the hospitals are devices only when they have to be used in an at-risk situation, such as the emergency department or the infectious disease department. And this is clearly makes a difference because the life of a healthcare worker has the same value if you work in the emergency department or if you work in the morgue or in medicine or in geriatrics. Therefore, this should be clear also to health administrators, who should make an effort to purchase these devices, but at the same time help implementing the whole prevention program.
And is there any model also abroad?
Well, we hope that the legislation in the United States was probably a model for Europe. So I don't see why the legislation in Europe shouldn't be a model for other countries. Because while the legislation in the United States was really mainly focused on the availability of safety engineer devices. In the legislation in Europe is supporting a program where education and prevention are the first priority and devices come after. So I really hope that, as I can see that in other countries, the legislation is still missing, while, for example, in Brazil, the legislation is already very advanced, very similar to the situation now in Europe. Therefore, there are differences, significant differences between one country and the other. And I hope that the idea of clearly explaining the rights and the duties of healthcare workers at work will be widespread. I make here a very recent example. Those who are going to Africa to treat Ebola patients, they come from a reality where safety devices are common, and they go to a reality where only very conventional needles are available, and sometimes also sharp containers and other preventive measures are poorly implemented because of the scarcity of resources. If this was the standard everywhere, this would mean that especially, for example, African healthcare workers would be protected against this pathogen as well as the other pathogen. While at the moment the differences between the working condition of healthcare workers in different countries might be the cause of a significant loss of lives, as it happened, for example, right in Africa, and especially in Sierra Leone, in Guinea, in Liberia. So we are really wishing that all over the world there's an effort to ameliorate working conditions for healthcare workers everywhere.
Thank you very much, Professor Gabriela De Carli.
Thank you for asking me. It's been a pleasure to be able to explain our current legislation. We are very proud of it.
We are in El Microscopio, a program about clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine. We are in El Microscopio, a program about clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine.
EuroMedLab in Paris 2015, European Congress of Clinical Chemistry and Laboratory Medicine.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus and America too. She's a good girl, crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too, yeah, yeah. It's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard. I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart, and I'm free, free falling, falling. All the vampires walking through the valley, they move west down Ventura Boulevard, and all the bad boys standing in the shadows, and the good girls
a home with broken hearts, and I'm free. Free falling, falling. Now I'm free. Free falling, falling. Free falling. I wanna free fall out into nothing. Oh, I'm gonna leave this world for a while. Now I'm free, free falling, falling. Now I'm free, free falling.
Microscopia, Agenda, offering courses, workshops, seminars, congresses.
Agenda. Third EFLM BT European Conference on Pre-Analytical Phase in Porto, Portugal, March 20th, March 21st, 2015. AFCC 2015, the fourth Congress of the African Federation of Clinical Chemistry.
Agenda.
April 28th to 30th. 2015 in Harare, Zimbabwe. For more information, you can visit www.afccafrica.org. Eighth European Symposium about Clinical Laboratory and Diagnosis Industry in Vitro Point of Care Testing, May 5th and 6th, 2015 in Barcelona, Spain. For more information, you can visit www.acclc.cat. 11th Symposium of the European Federation of Laboratory Medicine for the Balkan Region, May 14 and 15, 2015, Belgrado, Serbia. For more information, you can visit www.dmbj.org.rs.
Agenda.
First Congress of the Romanian Association of Laboratory Medicine, May 20th to 23rd, 2015, in Romania.
Microscopia.
First Congress of the Romanian Association of Laboratory Medicine, May 20th and 23rd, 2015, in Romania.
Microscopia.
IFCC, European Federation of Laboratory Medicine, 21st Congress of Clinical Chemistry and Laboratory Medicine, Euromed Lab, Paris, 2015.
Agenda.
June the 21st to June the 25th, the Palace of Congress in Paris, France. For more information, you can visit www.paris2015.org.
Agenda.
Euromed Lab 2015, satellite conference about HbA1c and diabetes mellitus in the 21st century, June 26, 2015, in Reims, France. For more information, you can visit www.paris2015.org.
Agenda.
AACC 2015, annual meeting and exhibition of laboratory medicine, July the 26th to the 30th, Atlanta, Georgia, United States. For more information, you can visit www.aacc.org. SIG conference and exhibition about analytical techniques, September the 1st to the 3rd, 2015, in Spain. For more information, you can visit www.analyticalbioanalytical.com.
Agenda.
Fourth European Congress of Immunology, September the 6th to the 9th, 2015, in Vienna, Austria.
El Microscopio.
Eighth Congress of the Croatian Society of Clinical Biochemistry and Laboratory Medicine,
with international participation.
Agenda.
September 22nd to 26th, 2015 in Croatia. 22nd Congress in Latin America of Clinical Biochemistry and Laboratory Medicine, Colabiocli.
Agenda.
September 24th to 26th, 2015 in Quito, Ecuador. For more information, you can visit www.sebioclibc.org. 23rd Conference of the Balkan Clinical Laboratory Federation, October the 7th to the 9th, 2015, in Bosnia. 13th National Congress of Biochemistry, Cuba. October the 7th to the 10th, 2015, in San Fernando del Valle de Catamarca, Catamarca, Argentina.
Agenda.
For more information, you can visit www.cubra2015.com.ar.
El Microscopio, where health professionals can meet over the internet.
We are thankful to the audience. We have more than 100,300 Facebook likes. Let's go for more.
El Microscopio.
In www.infobioquimica.com, you'll find a link to the Clinical Chemistry Training Council and consultation website of Clinical Chemistry and Laboratory Medicine.
This is El Microscopio.
Podcast on infobioquimica.org. El Microscopio in the world. Our correspondents in every country. Stella Raimondo from Uruguay. Fernando Ruiz Cerda from Chile. Montserrat González from Paraguay. Isabel Fierro from Ecuador. José Francisco Valle from Mexico. Oswaldo Ruiz Narváez from Costa Rica. Patrocinio Chuecas from Spain. Rodolfo Aquino Cáceres from El Salvador.
Mas tem que querer pra poder amar. Ah, mundo enganador. Paz, não quer mais dizer amor. Ah, nem melhor seria poder viver em paz, sem ter que sofrer, sem ter que chorar. Ah, bem melhor seria poder viver em paz, sem ter que sofrer, sem ter que chorar, sem ter que querer, sem ter que se dar.
This has been El Microscopio, broadcast on infobiochimica.org on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Argentina time.
The team of El Microscopio: Hernán Ferres Talle,
Hernán Ferres Talle,
Silvana Bujá,
Silvana Bujá,
Nicolas Bem,
Nicolas Bem,
Sebastian Zener,
Sebastian Zener,
Belen Landi,
Belen Landi,
and Marcelo Elias.
And Marcelo Elias.